Corinthians, chapter 13, beginning with verse 1. I think that's an appropriate place to begin today, don't you?
Oh, yes.
Amen.
Out love. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good, and his mercy endures forever. Amen? As soon as I get all situated here. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for the living word and the written word. We thank you for your power, for your anointing, for the blood of Jesus, for the grace of God. We thank you, Lord, for your people here assembled to fellowship with you in the word, Lord. We thank you for speaking to us, for touching our hearts and our minds. And Lord, we will not leave here the way that we came. We will be changed because your word and your spirit will change us. We give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you honor. We ask that you give us eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart to believe, and a mind to receive what the Spirit of the living God will speak to us today, Father. We thank you and we humble our hearts before you, and we open our spirits to your word, Lord. We yield to God the Holy Spirit, that he might touch us within, that he might heal us, that he might bring us to the maturity that you call all saints to walk in. We give you praise, Father, and we thank you for this word in Jesus' name. Amen. And I'll begin at verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have not the gift of, I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge. And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Amen?
Amen.
I want us to visit also, before I begin to talk about this, I want us to visit the Gospel of John, chapter 3. And verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, the scripture that we read earlier in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says, though I speak with the tongues of men, if I know every language that's ever been spoken on the earth, if I don't have love, there's no profit to that. God can't get the glory for that. It does nothing. It fails. It comes from another stream other than from the Spirit of God. And so we are advised as Christians and as believers to offer our gifts, our skills, and our abilities to the Lord, that he might use them to his glory. You see, when God sent us into the earth, he placed gifts and talents and skills and abilities in each of us. But they are his gifts, talents, and skills. And we must come to recognize that they don't belong to us really. They belong to him. because he created us. He made us for his own pleasure. And so whatever gifts, talents, skills, or abilities God has placed within each of us, they're his. And we should offer them to him. It ought to be our offering, our sacrificial offering unto the Lord, to allow him to get the glory from what he placed within us. It goes on to say, and though I speak with the tongues of angels, though I have the gift of diverse tongues, regardless of the gift I have, if I don't have love, God's love within me, it says I become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. I'm just making noise. I'm not producing a harmonious sound before the throne of God that brings grace and peace and love and joy and wholeness. It will not minister. It will just make noise. And that would be unprofitable for us. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries. Now, you've seen the shows on TV telling you about this mystery and that one and the other. If you could understand every mystery from the beginning of time until now, and you had all the knowledge in the world, if you don't have God's love, if we don't have the love of God in our hearts, it does not profit us. And it does not profit others. Amen? Amen. And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, if I don't have God's love within me, I'm nothing. I am absolutely nothing if I don't have God's love. You see, it's imperative that we have the love of God in our hearts. When we come to the Lord, we ask Jesus Christ to come live in our hearts and be our personal Savior and Lord. And when he comes in our hearts and the Holy Spirit changes us, the love of God is deposited within us. But it's up to us to choose to hold on to it. It's up to us to choose to allow it to change us and to touch the lives of other people. And if we fail to do that, we failed God. We failed the very reason for which we were created. We were created to carry the love of God and to express it to people everywhere. Do we agree?
Amen.
Amen. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, even if I own a charity foundation, if I don't have God's love, it doesn't profit. God doesn't get the glory for that. You see, faith works by love. It does not work by hatred. It does not work by factions or sex. It doesn't work by anything but God's love. God's love is the foundation for all of Christianity. It's the bedrock. Our God is love. We're commanded to love. We're commanded to love him. We're commanded to love ourselves. And we're commanded to love others. And in order to do that, we have to have God's love in us. Amen?
Amen?
And we have to be willing to express it and share it with others. Though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Though I was burned as many of the martyrs were at the stake for preaching the gospel, if I don't have God's love, then that's just some more ashes. That's what God's saying. Whatever endeavor we seek to do, and we seek to do it without the love of God and not flowing through the love of God, we've wasted our time. We've wasted our time. The love of God is the bedrock of this foundation that we stand on, because our God is love. It says, charity suffereth long. Yes, suffering is a part of the Christian life. But love, God's love in us, suffers long. It bears with the weaknesses of other people. It bears with situations that are uncomfortable and unseemly. It bears with many things that we think are just not what we would have. It's not lining up with this scripture right here, so we believe. But you see, when we place our focus on the Lord, when we place our eyes on Jesus Christ, when we focus on the Holy Spirit and not on the issue at hand, then God is able, through our faith and love, to touch the situation and to bring it in accord with His Spirit and His Word. Amen? Many times we have relationships and situations in life that just don't line up. They're just not what they ought to be. But if we keep looking at the situation, we won't get anywhere. We will become anxious and frustrated and fearful, and sometimes we quit. But if we keep our focus on the Lord, if we keep our focus on the Heavenly Father, if we keep our focus on the Holy Spirit, then eventually understanding begins to come to us. And then God begins to give us wisdom for the situation. As long as we keep our focus on Him, He will work in the situation, whatever that situation might be. Many of us, even matured Christians, have forgotten that we learned this long time ago, that we're to keep our eyes upon the Lord. We're to cast our cares upon Him because He loves us and cares for us. Even the smallest thing, we should take it to the Lord and trust Him with it. Because He's our God, He loves us, and He's always going to do what is in our best interest. He's always going to help us. We've been studying on Blog Talk about God the Holy Spirit and His relationship to the believer. And He's always our helper. No matter what the situation, no matter what happens, He's with us, He's in us, He's going to help us. He's not going to leave us like orphans. We're never going to be left alone. Amen? Amen? Charity suffereth long and is kind. Is kind. Not sharp, hard, or pressing. Kind. The gentleness, the fruit of the Spirit come forth. God's love in us is kind. Love envieth not. Love doesn't compare ourselves to someone else or someone else's situation. You see, God has children all over the world. And He deals with us collectively as the body of Christ. And He deals with each of us individually. God doesn't have cookie cutter children. Each of us is unique. Each of us came forth from Him. Even every race, every kindred, and every tongue. You see, that's why we can't look at another culture and judge them according to our own opinions and how we were raised. We don't really know everything about them. We just think we do. God's love transcends every race, every culture, every language barrier. Whatever the wall or the obstacle is, God's love transcends it all. It lifts us beyond it and takes us on to the place that He would have us to go. So you see, differences in race, differences in culture, differences in upbringing, differences in what man refers to as the status of life, is overcome by the love of God. So if we're ever confronted with man's deciding that perhaps we should be rejected because we're not of their group, we know that God's love lifts us above and beyond that, and that their ignorance and immaturity is something that God will change in due time. If we keep our focus on the Lord and we allow Him to move as we pray for them in love. Amen? Amen. Because once you've been received by Almighty God, nobody can really reject you. No one can turn you away. You're upheld by the arms of the Almighty God, who has all power in His hands. No one, not even a family member, they may not choose to associate with you. They may say awful things about you and do awful things to you. But God loves us. He loves each and every one of us, and he holds us close to his heart. He has not rejected us. And so we find strength in his love to love other people. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Love does not vaunt itself. Well, what do you mean by that? Love doesn't lift itself up and say, and I, and I, and I, and I, and I. And today, I, and last week, I. Love doesn't do that. Love is meek. Love is humble. Love is humble. Love prefers and esteems the other person better than itself. Love prefers the brethren. Amen? Love is not puffed up. It's not full of hot air. Love is not the one that says, well, I came from, and I have, and I do, and I am, and love doesn't do that. The credentials that we have in life, whatever they are, the standing that society calls status, love overcomes all of that. It's beyond all of that. It's larger than all of that. It takes all of that and says, no, you're not in the forefront. That's what love does. And love does not use those things to form a barrier between us and others. Love receives people because people are made by God. There isn't anyone that's a human being that has walked on this planet that God did not make. And if God made them and he loves them, surely we can. Amen?
Amen?
If God made every single person on this planet and he loves them to the point that he died on the cross. He gave his son to die on the cross for them. Whether they ever acknowledge it or not, or ever receive it, God still loves them. God loves everybody that's ever gone to hell and everyone that ever will go. God is never going to stop loving us. We choose whether we're going to heaven or hell. That's our choice. That's why we have a free will. But God loves everyone. There isn't anyone God does not love. And since the love of God is shed abroad or poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, we should come in agreement with our God. We have received of his love, and we should choose to allow him to love everyone through us. Amen?
Amen.
Boy, those amens are getting quiet.
Amen.
All right. Love does not behave itself unseemly. Now, I don't have to explain that. We saw some unseemly today. And we forgive that. Amen? Because love doesn't do that. Now, does it? Love is kind and patient and forgiving and generous. That's what love does. And God has called his people to walk in love 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, right? Because he loves us. He loves everyone, and so we should join him in that ministry of loving everyone.
Amen.
Even children do that before they learn about Jesus. They don't quite have it all together, but they get it eventually.
Amen.
We need to join our Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Holy Spirit in loving everyone, because God is love, and he loves everybody. Amen.
Amen.
Now, love does not seek its own. It's not forever grasping for what it can get. It's not like that. Love doesn't do that. Love receives. It opens its hand and it receives.
Amen.
There's a difference between grasping for that ring and allowing God to place it in your hand. There's a difference.
Right.
You see, it's not necessary to compete with someone else for a gift that God's giving to you. That's not necessary. All we have to do is obey our God, love our God, trust our God, and he will give us what we need in this life. The scripture says, having given us Jesus Christ, he will freely give us all things. So we don't have to go beat out the next person at the office for this, that, and the other. That's not the love of God. You see, that's how it is when the other person gets the promotion before us, that we can applaud them and say, thank you, Lord, for blessing them. Because we know that our God loves us and that he's going to bless us. But he's watching our attitude and he's watching for our response, whether or not we will act like him or will we revert to acting like the world. Amen? Amen. Love thinketh no evil. Now, beloved, there are times when thoughts come to us that are not the love of God, but we don't have to keep them. Everybody has thoughts. They come to everyone, but we don't have to keep those thoughts. That's why we have 2 Corinthians 10 and 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Not just thoughts that we think are evil. It says bring every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. The devil will come with thoughts that are not God, but we don't have to keep them, and we don't have to accept them. We can reject them. We can say, nope, that's not the love of God. That's not Jesus Christ. I don't have to receive that. And I won't. I bind that in the name of Jesus Christ. And I bring it captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. I'm a vessel filled with the love of God. And I'm going to walk in love. We can choose to do that. The Bible says that love, God's love, does not rejoice in iniquity. It doesn't think sin is great. It doesn't exalt sin. It doesn't advertise sin. It doesn't publish sin. It doesn't spread sin. It doesn't participate in sin. It doesn't wallow in sin. It doesn't return to sin. God's love is pure and holy. And as his people, we're to be pure and holy too. So we have to choose to stay in the love of God. It says that the love of God rejoices in truth. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth. God does not like deception. He doesn't like deception. He doesn't want anyone to be deceived. He wants everyone to know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, as we call it. He wants us to walk in truth all of our days. He wants us to believe truth. He wants us to speak truth. And he wants us to trust and yield to his truth. Amen? Mm-hmm. Amen. Love bears things. That means situations that are uncomfortable sometimes. We're to bear them in the love of God. Love believeth all things. Love believes that God's going to fix everything in his due season. And we will wait with God and rejoice and thank him and praise him and obey him while he does it. Love endures all things, and love never fails. I want to remind us of a few things. The Bible says that while it's talking about love being patient and kind and not envious and not boastful and not proud, love is humble. Love is not proud. Not at all. It's not haughty. It's not selfish. And it's not rude. It never says, mine, 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 mine. No, you can't have any. It's all mine. That's not God's love. See, God so loved that he gave. He gave that was most precious to him, his only begotten son. Amen? Now I'm going to tell you something about Pastor Pat. She was one of the most giving, generous persons I have ever met in my life. And it's difficult for me to conceive of anyone at any time not treating her the same way. It's hard for me to conceive of that, but I saw people do that. But you know something? No matter how people treated her, she loved them just the same. And if any time she gave us or loaned us something and we owed it back to her and we didn't pay her for some reason, we owe it to her children now. We owe them respect. We owe them love. We owe them sympathy. We owe them prayers. They came out of her body. The young lady that said, "I'm Catherine Holliday," she came out of Dr. Pat's body. She's flesh of her flesh and bone of her bone. How could you disrespect her and say you still love Pastor Pat?
Right.
You understand? Right. How can you say that I love Pastor Pat and her flesh and blood stands here and you don't honor them the same way you honored Pastor Pat? Nonetheless, God loves us all, you see. The love of God is not irritable, and it's not touchy. I must confess that long time ago in my Christian life, I used to be irritable and touchy. I needed deliverance. And I remember one day that I was at this red light, and someone at work had said something to me that just didn't go the right way with me. And the Lord rebuked me. He said, "You know something? Nobody can say anything to you." And I knew I was dead wrong, so to speak. And I repented right at that red light. The Bible says they that do love the Lord's law won't be offended with anything. There's a scripture that says not to be offended no matter what God chooses to do. You see, God made a choice this morning. God Almighty made a choice. And there are persons that are upset because of God's choice. However, God is never wrong. He's always right. That's part of what it takes to be God. All of his judgments are just and right. And so I couldn't argue with him. I couldn't disagree with him when he let me know what he wanted me to do. So I humbled myself and I said, "Yes, Lord." You see, when we go to the restaurant out in front of people, we say we have God's love in us, and we notice the silverware isn't quite as clean as we think it ought to be, or there's this smudge on the glass, or the waitress doesn't quite do things the way we think, or we get bumped into and something gets wasted on our clothes, or some other little thing. We're not to be irritable and touchy. We're to be kind and forgiving and patient. We're not to jump up and say, "That's not the love of God. Well, you know, you didn't bring this and you didn't bring that and you didn't bring this." That's not the love of God. That's not God. That's not even good manners. So now, saints, we're not going to do those things anymore, are we? We're going to do the will of God and walk in love. We're going to forgive people when they cut us off in traffic immediately. We're going to give them room. Maybe that's what they need. There is no way you can go through life and irritations and annoyances not occur. It's not possible. Teeth and tongue run into each other and clash, and they're intended to work together. In your own mouth, you've bitten the side of your jaw or your tongue. They're intended to work together. And sometimes they clash. So it's impossible to live on a planet that has imperfect people, because there are no perfect people on this planet. There are no perfect people in any church or any organization or on any job or anywhere, because there are no perfect people on the planet. Everyone has flaws, and most of us have a lot of them. Amen?
Amen.
So we would be well to consider others better than ourselves and forgive quickly. Why? Because we're flawed too. We're not perfect. There are no perfect people. And I see a flaw over there. And God, you need to fix this. Maybe God isn't going to fix it just yet. Why? Because he wants us to grow up and walk in love. And he'll leave that little flaw right there. Why? To bug us until we choose to walk in love. Amen? So you know, when you live in a family and you have a household, the person in the house is going to get on your nerves. Your spouse is going to get on your nerves. Your brothers and sisters, your cousins, the people closest to you, they're going to rub shoulders with you and get on your nerves. Why? Because we have to be developed in the love of God. And we're not going to get out of it. God is looking for a church that has no spot, no wrinkle, or any such thing. So the iron of God is going to come by, and we're going to feel some heat and some irritation and some annoyances in life. Why? Because we have to grow and develop in the love of God. We can't just say, okay, I've got it in my heart. No, there has to be growth. There has to be development. We've got to start looking and sounding and smelling like Jesus. When God looks over at us, he needs to see his reflection come back at him. And everywhere he sees in us that he doesn't see his reflection, he's going to work on us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Boy, I see conviction everywhere in here. I wonder how that happened. The Bible says, not only does love not demand its own way and not be irritable and touchy and overly sensitive, it does not hold grudges and will hardly even notice when others do it wrong. There's room for growth for everyone, isn't there?
Amen.
Amen. Now, everybody should have said amen that time. Amen.
Amen.
It is never glad about an injustice. Never. Not one. It does not gloat when it sees somebody else finally get it. They finally got what was coming. No. Mm-mm. That's not the love of God. Now is it? And we know that, don't we? But we just couldn't miss that opportunity to get it in, could we? Yes, we could. Because this is a whosoever will faith. Whosoever will follow Jesus Christ. Whosoever will love the Lord. Whosoever will love the people that God loves. You see, we're called to win people to Jesus Christ, but we have to use his love in order to do it. And we can't go witness to people if we are not going to love them. He says he draws us with his loving kindness. So how is it we think we have to use something else? It's not going to work. That's how he does it. That's how it works. The love that he pours in, we pour out, and it draws men to him. That's how we win people to Jesus Christ. Amen? And he that winneth souls is wise. It's never glad about injustice, but rejoices when truth wins out. If we love others, we will be loyal to them. No matter what the cost, we'll always believe in them. We'll always expect the best of them. And we'll always stand our ground in defending them. You know, I had to do that not too long ago on that trip I took to New York. I was with someone that did mistreated, shall we say, the hotel staff. And I was out on the veranda, out in the sun. Pigeons weren't bothering me. I was waiting for the time to leave the hotel and go pick up my cab. And the hotel management came to me and said, Dr. Sessions, may we speak with you? And I said, certainly. So I got up. And the manager of the hotel said, we're having a problem with such and such. I said, really? Yes. And how long have you known such and such? And I said, well, not long, but you know, da-da-da. Well, and then they began to tell me what had happened. And so, because I chose to walk in the love of God, I said the following. You know, that person is in a lot of pain. They have a lot of suffering physically in their body. And I know that they're taking certain medications because of the pain. And as a pharmacist, I know that those medications can cause you to act in an irritable and unkind manner. And I ask your indulgences for that person. And please don't call the police and throw them out of the hotel. They're in pain and suffering. They need help. And perhaps the Lord will do something to help them. And so the people didn't call the cops. Isn't that nice? Yeah. You know, I could have said, well, I don't know. You figure this out yourself. But that's not the love of God, now is it? So we have to choose by an act of our will to walk in the love of God. Now, I have a couple other scriptures I want to share with us today. And I'm going to 1 John. Please join me there. God wants to talk to his people, and he wants us to hear what he has to say. So we're going to go to 1 John and chapter 3, and we're going to start with verse 23, which means I need to turn the page. Amen. And begin, I think I'll go to verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Amen? This is what we should do. We're going to have to pray, because I tell you, y'all are looking more and more convicted by the moment. I thought y'all be shouting over this sermon. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 21. Oh, let me back up. Let's start at verse 19. We love him, God. Why? Because he first loved us. We love God because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? See, we see people every day, and we want to say we're Christians and we love God. But if we say we love God and we don't love each other, we're lying. And liars go to hell. We know that from the book of Revelation, right? And we don't want to go to hell. We're determined we're not going there, right? So we're going to obey God, right? Absolutely. Amen. And this is the commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Amen?
Amen.
So we're going to do this, right?
Amen.
Okay, so in your Bible, you sign that right there. You put your name, you sign your John Henry Cancrock right there. And tell God, yes, sir, I'm going to do this. See, this is his book. He wrote it. You've come in agreement. You said amen. So you put your John Henry or Jane Henry or whatever you've got right at the end of that scripture. Because God is righteous and holy. Amen. Then you can join me in Romans chapter 8. And verse 38, I learned these scriptures, these two scriptures, when I was a child. about 8 or 9 in church. My pastor preached on it for an entire month, and he made us learn it. For I am persuaded, I am fully convinced, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. There is nothing created. No being can come between us and God's love. Now, we can turn away and reject God's love, but God extends his love to us still. Amen? We have a good God. Now, let's flip back to John 4. 1 John 4. Well, you were just there, so you know how to find it. We've practiced that part already. And we're going to begin at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. Why? Because God is love. Amen? Can we agree?
Amen.
Amen. Verse 9. In this was manifested, made known, plain to see, obvious. Even if you're blind, you can figure it out. The love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Not live through the world, not live through our flesh, live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or atoning sacrifice for our sins. Jesus Christ died on the cross for every sin that has ever been committed, is being committed now, and ever will be committed. He already has paid the price. The price has been paid. It's been paid in full. So when someone sins, we can forgive them. Why? Because Jesus already paid for it. It's been paid for. There's no point in getting all huffed up and puffed up and mad and stomping all around. You know how we act. It's been paid for. Jesus has already died for the sin. No matter if they do it on CNN, CBS, ABC, or anywhere else. He's already paid the price. He already gave his life for that sin. So there, we have a foundation for forgiveness. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 16, and we have known and believe the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Now, we're not talking about that worldly, fleshly stuff that the world chumps up and puts on the TV and calls love. We all know that's not the real thing. Some of us tried to depend on it, walk in it, live in it, and it failed us. God is love, the true and living God. And besides him, there's none other. Now let's go over to the 5th chapter of 1 John. And we have but two verses there. Beginning at verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous or burdensome or a pain or hard to be borne. No, there are joy and rejoicing. We love to obey God and to give him pleasure and to please him. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, today you shared the word with us. You've spoken to our hearts. You've convicted us. You've taught us what you would have us to do, that we should keep our eyes focused on you, and that we should show love, the love that you pour in our hearts to everyone, because you love everyone. Sometimes, Lord, It's not easy to love, but you don't care if it's easy or if it's hard because you've done the hard part. You died on the cross for us. And so you compel us. You invite us. You call us to join you in the ministry of love, of giving love. Not that fleshly human stuff that we trump up, but the love of God that's poured in our hearts by God the Holy Spirit. You want us to release it to others. And we thank you, Lord, for using us as a vessel. Forgive us for all the times that we refused to walk in love, Lord. We were wrong. And today we know how wrong we were. We ask for your forgiveness, for your cleansing, and for your healing. We ask, Lord, that as we come together in unity, in the love of God, that you would bring us together as a church family, and that the love of God would move from breast to breast, from heart to heart, that we would be quick to forgive one another and overlook slights, that we would be quick to love one another with the love that you pour in us. We thank you, Lord, for your peace and for your joy, for your love. But most of all, we thank you for the blood of Jesus that gave us this opportunity to become the sons of God. Amen. Amen. Now we're going to have a special presentation by Sister Julie.